The goal of mask wearing is not to make your life less comfortable. It's to give something back to all of us, a normal life.
Vaccine hope amid rising coronavirus cases. It's Tuesday, November 10th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, the world grapples with infections, U.S. election fallout, Afghanistan remains turbulent, sea sponge links to humans, Native American women try to advance. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Drug manufacturer Pfizer, in partnership with German biotechnology company BioNTech SE, has announced its experimental vaccine was more than 90% effective in preventing the coronavirus. That's based on initial data from a large study. The news immediately sent financial markets soaring, with the hope that a vaccine breakthrough will help bring the pandemic in check and boost business activity, which would help millions of people now out of work. The vaccine study still has more hurdles to cross, including another group study, the results of which could be known by next week. If eventually approved by government health officials, the daunting task of manufacturing enough vaccine and distributing it efficiently to millions of people remains. In the meantime, coronavirus continues to spread at alarming rates. Many hospitals in the United States are nearing capacity as cold months approach. President-elect Joe Biden has made coronavirus response his top priority, and he convened a task force Monday to begin addressing the problem. He also urged Americans to wear masks and put aside political divisions that have surrounded wearing masks.
I want to be very clear. The goal of mask wearing is not to make your life less comfortable. It's to take something or take something away from you. It's to give something back to all of us. A normal life. The goal is to get back to normal as fast as possible. And masks are critical in doing that.
In many parts of Asia, the pandemic remains a continued threat. VOA's Salman Khan has this report from Lahore, Pakistan, on what the Punjab government is doing to contain the deadly virus. Bejan Hamdard narrates.
Pakistan's most populated province of Punjab didn't see its first coronavirus case until March 14th, more than 2 weeks after the virus first arrived in the country. The local health department quickly imposed strict new isolation measures in public and private buildings.
14 days quarantine was required. After that, two negative tests would be required to release the patients. Often, patients would get frustrated and even get depression and would even get aggressive on why they were kept isolated.
Experts say the situation was even worse when police were called in to force patients into isolation.
Wherever there was a case reported, police would pick up the patients and place them in isolation wards. It was handled wrongly. People got scared and stopped reporting.
And because of that fear of reporting, health experts are worried that Pakistan doesn't have a complete picture of how COVID is spreading. So far, an estimated 14,400 people out of 1 million have been tested. Health experts say that's not enough and add it's a worldwide problem.
Everyone blames that the government has failed to control the pandemic. By that theory, the whole world has failed. Governments like America have failed. England has failed. And European countries have failed. People give New Zealand as an example, but that country's population is less than half of Lahore City.
According to Johns Hopkins University, 293 people in Pakistan have died due to COVID-19 in the last month, a small number compared to June when 2,852 lost their lives. That low number has prompted the nation to reopen businesses, but that carries a risk of causing a resurgence of the virus. The government is urging people to wear face masks and remain socially distant, but like many nations, has stopped short of issuing a national face mask mandate. For Salman Khan in Lahore, Pakistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Stay with VOA Asia as we check in a moment on the pandemic surge around the world and update the latest on U.S. presidential politics. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Hong Kong's pro-democracy lawmakers threaten to resign. Australian media on trial over cardinal contempt charges. Pakistani health experts say government should do more virus testing. Taliban expect Biden to stick to Afghan peace deal without significant change. Laos bids to shed least developed country label. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more on Facebook at VOA Asia. We also invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. The World Health Organization says national coronavirus lockdowns could be avoided if people were willing to take measures to avoid spreading the virus. Meanwhile, there is anger in parts of Europe over a new round of restrictions, as VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports.
People and businesses have a responsibility to stop the spread of the coronavirus, not just governments, says the World Health Organization.
We can avoid national lockdowns. We can avoid massive restrictive movements if everyone plays their part. The decisions that we make every day about avoiding crowded spaces, about avoiding enclosed settings for prolonged periods of time, about postponing some of those gatherings that we may want to have, and it's sacrifices that we all have to make.
Of all the COVID-19 cases reported last week, the organization says 46% are in Europe.
There's no question that the European region is an epicenter for disease right now, and there's a lot of free movement. And therefore, on those principles, it may require shutting down and restricting movement and having stay-at-home orders in order to take the heat out of this phase of the pandemic.
But some are not happy about going back to lockdown mode. Spanish residents are divided over the latest curfew, which is in effect from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m.
The measures were necessary. It was about time something harsher was done.
Maybe curfew is a measure that for many is radical, but in the end, I think it will deepen the economic crisis and will lead people to do illegal things instead of being more responsible.
Spain is one of Europe's worst-hit countries with over 1 million cases and climbing.
The truth is that the evolution is very quick, very clear upwards. It is very likely that if we don't manage to implement all the measures clearly, this transmission will continue to increment at least during the coming weeks.
Meanwhile, in Italy, police fired tear gas to clear out protesters angry about the latest coronavirus restrictions that force bars, cafes, and restaurants to close at 6 p.m. Italy has registered more than 500,000 COVID-19 cases since the beginning of the pandemic. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, election officials in Myanmar began counting votes after the country went to the polls in large numbers. Officials expect Aung San Suu Kyi to emerge the winner. She won the last election in 2015 by a huge margin, which ended more than five decades of military rule. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us today on VOA Asia. President Donald Trump continues to press the case of voting irregularities in the U.S. presidential election, while former Vice President Joe Biden, whom VOA projects is the election winner, has announced his new COVID-19 task force this week. VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
The United States is experiencing a split-screen reality since the November 3rd presidential election. Former Vice President Joe Biden, the projected winner, says he will begin his transition to governing. President Donald Trump says votes are still being counted in some states, and he should be given a chance to bring challenges in states where there are allegations of fraud.
What I think is interesting is this declaration from some individuals saying it was an overwhelming victory for Joe Biden. It simply wasn't, because you have so many of these states that are still in play.
Democratic leaders called on their Republican peers to accept the projected election results for the country's sake or provide evidence of fraud.
If Republicans are going to support President Trump in his resistance to accepting the outcome of the election, the president needs to show some facts, not just angry tweets.
The Biden team announced that while the president-elect doesn't take office until January 20th, it would begin its transition to leading the country by forming a task force to address COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. Meanwhile, plans for the presidential inauguration on January 20th continue, says Roy Blunt, Republican Senator of Missouri and chair of the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies.
And I expect to see both Vice President Biden and President Trump on the stage on inaugural day, and that'll be a powerful message no matter which one of them is sworn in that day.
After awaiting the outcome of the election, the nation is ready to transition from a contentious presidential campaign to what comes next. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
American voters waited days to hear the projected results of the 2020 election, with voter turnout at record numbers. Amid a pandemic and a strong partisan divide, how does the country heal? Isha Sarai reports from Philadelphia.
Years of divisive politics, months of protests, and a contested election. For tired and angry American voters, with Joe Biden projected to be the next president of the United States, what comes now?
And you know, there are people who are just never going to come around, but he's going to have to do his best to just bridge the gap. I can't even imagine how hard of a job that's going to be.
The results of the election kept people on both sides on edge for days. Now, Biden supporters are looking to move forward. Trump supporters have echoed the president's claims of voter fraud without evidence and are calling for recounts and investigations.
If there's no indication of fraud, I think that we can move forward whichever way the results end up.
Many on both sides hope to eventually shift attention from the election to the issues themselves.
The movement of Black lives to fight for the movement of Indigenous lives.
Racial injustice. What's happening, what Trump did to immigrants?
Education, economics.
The economy, that's the big one, and just our general rights.
Trump and Biden supporters took to the streets following the former vice president's projected victory.
Even with the Trump supporters, you know, they're playing the same music. Everybody likes the same music, and I think it's an unintended consequence that's actually going to be a healing part.
A divided America, but some shared goals. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Philadelphia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, pro-democracy protesters in Thailand were sprayed with water cannon by the police for the second time as they approached Bangkok's Grand Palace to deliver letters to the country's king about political grievances. The pro-democracy movement had been pushing to reform the monarchy. You'll find more on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Last week, gunmen stormed Kabul University in the Afghan capital, killing at least 19 people and wounding more than 20 others. A new government watchdog report says that deadly attack is just the latest example of how violence is on the rise in the war-torn country, as VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb reports.
Another deadly attack by Islamic insurgents in Afghanistan, this time targeting students.
The attack on Kabul University was against all Islamic norms and principles, and Afghans will never surrender to them.
We will return to university stronger and will keep moving ahead by learning more and more.
The latest deadly assault comes as government officials and Taliban insurgents are trying to negotiate a peace deal. According to the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, average daily enemy-initiated attacks in Afghanistan went up 50% from July 1st to September 30th of this year compared to the previous quarter. Anti-government forces accounted for at least 83% of civilian casualties, with the Taliban responsible for nearly half of those. The Pentagon says Taliban violence could undermine the U.S.-Taliban peace agreement if it continues at this, quote, unacceptably high rate.
The Taliban is able to essentially exploit the peace process to steadily increase its role and influence in many areas.
And by targeting Afghan forces rather than the U.S. troops, Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says that the Taliban hopes the United States will continue withdrawing its forces. While the United States has been critical of the Taliban's intensified attacks, American troops continue their withdrawal from Afghanistan as part of the U.S.-Taliban agreement, recently decreasing from 8,600 troops to 4,500. And if the U.S. fully withdraws at some point next year, as laid out by the deal, Cordesman warns there will be little chance for a peace deal between the Taliban and the Afghan government.
How could you actually have a peace between the Afghan government and the Taliban? And how could you possibly have a peace settlement if the U.S. forces are gone?
So far, peace talks between the Taliban and the Afghan government have yielded no breakthroughs or results. And on the battlefield, experts say overstressed Afghan units plagued by a coronavirus pandemic and shrinking U.S. support are watching the Taliban steadily make gains. Carla Babb, VOA News, Washington.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
This is VOA Asia. Researchers in Australia say a jelly-like sea sponge found along the Great Barrier Reef could provide clues about an elusive part of the human DNA. Their newly released study, which looks at 700 million years of evolution, concludes that elements of the human genome, what scientists describe as an incredibly complex and ever-changing instruction manual of life, work in the same way as the genome of the prehistoric sea sponge. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has details.
Researchers at the Victor Chang Cardiac Research Institute in Sydney say that while the DNA of humans and these simple yet highly adaptable aquatic invertebrates are not similar, they do share a comparable set of instructions that control how information contained in a gene is decoded and used. The scientists believe these genetic links have been preserved across millions of years of evolution. Lead researcher Emily Wong says the new study has allowed them to better read and understand how our genetic library works.
We focused on sequences in the genome called enhancers, and they're responsible for switching on and off genes. We found that similar sequences are deeply conserved all the way from humans to sea sponges. So that's over 700 million years of evolution. We're really excited about this discovery because it's the first time that such a deeply conserved enhancer has been discovered.
Long before the dinosaurs, the sea sponge was one of the species that dominated life on Earth. The researchers believe that it's not only people that share a genetic link to sea sponges, but most likely the entire animal kingdom. The study could have implications for biomedical advances and healthcare. A senior researcher said the more we know about how our genes are wired, the better we're able to develop new treatments for diseases. The academic work was a collaboration between various Australian universities and research organisations and has been published in the journal Science. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Now on VOA Asia, life on Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota can be harsh. It's poor, dangerous, and there are few prospects for girls and young women. but women of the Lakota tribe are taking their lives and their future into their own hands, offering the young generation of women new opportunities. Victoria Kupchianetsky reports.
You're that side.
Patience and her sister, A.J., live in one of the poorest communities in the United States, Pine Ridge Reservation, in the U.S. state of South Dakota.
Take it to the gate! Take it to the gate!
Patience is 10 years old. Most of her life she's been shuttled between her relatives' homes because her parents are not always present in her life.
I mostly go to my grandma's. She took care of me for 2 years. Here you go, you can have the puppy back. Before my grandma took me, I used to have an uncle that took care of me. He got buried out close to Red Cloud School. Yeah, I only go see him once in a while, but I didn't really see him because it's sad for me.
Patience's great-grandfather hasn't been able to find employment for months. Electric heating is expensive, so they supplement with burning wood.
Her and I, that's four generations.
I'm the Lakota woman. Right? Say yes.
Say Lakota Wea.
Lakota Wea.
We here at the Oglala Lakota Band. We got a mean loss of identity here due to forced assimilation.
The Lakota tribe were buffalo hunters. They roamed these plains freely for thousands of years. From the late 19th to mid-20th century, U.S. federal policy forced indigenous people to assimilate. The policy called for removing Lakota and other tribes' children from their homes, as well as forbidding them from performing cultural ceremonies and speaking their native languages. They were forced into farming and to live on reservations. Native Americans have gained back some rights, but many still choose to live on reservations where life remains harsh. Pine Ridge Reservation is a geographically isolated place where resources are scarce and crime is rampant. The unemployment rate is 80%. Drugs and alcohol, disappearances of young women, and the absence of law enforcement are all part of life here.
Thank you.
The women of the Lakota tribe are trying to take their lives and their future in their own hands.
I speak for our reservation because this is where I've been. We have to support one another, and we have to bring that together for our daughters and our future.
That's why I feel like these programs are so important, to teach our young girls to have pride in themselves and who they are and how to protect and understand their sacredness.
They're working with the Indigenous Adolescent Girls Empowerment Network, Imagine, to create girl societies on the reservation, safe places in each neighborhood where girls can go every week to have fun, talk about problems, and pursue opportunities.
With the historical oppression that Native American people have experienced here in the U.S., family structures are often broken down. And so girls have a lot more on their plates than boys do in terms of pregnancy risk, in terms of dropping out of school, in terms of having to shoulder the responsibilities of heading a family.
Programs like these may help girls like Patience turn their dreams for a better future into reality. Victoria Kupchianetsky, VOA News, South Dakota.
Television viewers have lost a familiar face that has come into their home for many years.
Alex Trebek and Jeopardy are a part of American culture. Even though Trebek was born in Canada, he won 5 Emmys hosting Jeopardy. When Trebek was diagnosed with cancer, he was honest and upbeat with his viewers and touched when they flooded him with support. Trebek said in a 2012 AP interview he never wanted to try being a Jeopardy contestant, just the host.
I've got the job. I don't have anything to prove anymore. I know how bright I am. I know what my limitations are and which categories would cause me problems.
I'm Margie Zara.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We thank you so much for joining us today. Come back again tomorrow. We thank our team that brings you our program each and every day. Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.